Something like that.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, blast off. Oh no!
Tesla had a.
Your face.
That's not.
You're like Tesla. It blew up.
No, my bad. SpaceX. They had another successful launch.
Yeah, that's actually really great news. And you know what that means? We get to talk about something space related on this episode of.
Oh, crap, I didn't plan it at all, actually. But I was very sad.
That was me giving you a tie into the intro. Hit me. Why are you sad?
So space stuff. I was outside walking Sirius because he had a poo poo. And I was looking at the starry night. I was looking out at the starry sky, yes. And I was so sad because I was like, I was born like 100 years from now. I would actually have a chance to be among the stars.
And all the while, your big Doberman's in the corner doing the poopoo. He's like, you're stuck on Earth dealing with, yeah, like I could have been in the stars.
I think he's pooping a lot better since I changed his dog food. Like, I actually started getting him, like good dog food. It's more expensive, obviously. It's actually 3 times more expensive, but his bowel movements are better, and his farts aren't as stinky. So, yeah, people, get your dogs good dog food.
I've been giving him shit for years. Who knew it would do shitty things to his body? But now that I do good food, he gets good.
And that's like me, honestly, like, I cook a lot at home and like I have normal bowel movements, but if I go out and eat McDonald's, I get explosive diarrhea before I'm even done.
And welcome to this episode of Burnt Out Coffee Friday episode, where we talk about poo poo and dogs
and space.
Of course, as you read the title to this episode, you're not coming in here blind and confused. You heard last Friday's episode, so you're not coming in blind or confused. You know exactly what we're talking about. Oscar, what are we talking about?
I just recently learned we're talking about Treasure Planet.
Motherfucker, how do you recently... The last episode, I just said we planned so much ahead. You're like,
no,
I learned today,
I know,
folks.
I know, but I was watching the wrong thing for 3 days, remember?
You were watching what will be the end of this unplanned trilogy of Space Outlaws. But this one, we're talking Treasure Planet, made by Disney. Yes, the famed Treasure Planet. Now, I bet you're wondering, why are you talking about Treasure Planet? What is Treasure Planet? Enrique, does Treasure Planet hold up? Well, Bean Teen listener, guess what? We're going to answer those questions right here and now, right? Aren't we awesome?
Yeah, like Treasure Planet and like Atlantis. People keep forgetting those Disney movies exist.
Mm-hmm. Little fact, and we're going to start this off with a little snidgen fact. Treasure Planet did horrible in the box office. Fucking terrible. That actually is a sad fact, but the thing is, it's because one of the major reasons, not the only reason, but one of the major reasons is because it came out the same time as Harry Potter did. Like the first movie.
Well, I thought you were going to say it was starring Amber Heard.
Wait, she's in this movie? Who is she?
Oh, she's not in this movie.
I was like, was she the mom? No, she couldn't have been the mom.
When this movie came out, she was probably like a teenager or something.
That's why I was confused. I believed you. I put my trust in you and you just betrayed it.
That was a burn / pop culture reference to what's going on today.
I get... You know, Oscar, I didn't get that. But you know what? Now that you laid it out in front of me, you put it out. It was like it was always in my face. Little known fact about that situation, the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard situation. For years, I was on Johnny Depp's side. And this is not me clout chasing. This is the reason why I was on Johnny Depp's side. I completely misunderstood the situation. When I first heard it, I thought all the accusations that were coming out on Johnny Depp, I don't know why, I thought that was stuff she was doing to him. So when everyone had this whole role reversal that it was Amber Heard the whole time, I was like, the whole time? Wasn't it the whole time? What the fuck have I been thinking of?
I really wish it would have gone like a step further and you were like, I can't believe it. Johnny Depp, you scumbag. Like, actually reversed your thinking. I misunderstood twice.
Dude, you'll never believe what I heard about the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard situation. Is it that Amber Heard's a bad guy?
I'm confused on why all of your friends and family hate you on social media.
I'm just like, I don't get it. I thought I was on the right side. No, like, for years, I thought that was stuff that was happening to him. And then, so when this came out, I legitimately was like, is this news? Are we just now figuring this out? Didn't he say something like this years ago? Am I stupid? I don't know.
Oh, Harry Potter killed Treasure Planet.
It was one of the many Caesar's knives to its back, but it was the biggest one. It was the Berserk blade that has impaled its body.
It's true, because when Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone came out, I can't think of another movie that came out that year. It was eclipsed the year. It was like, okay, this is the best thing ever. I want Harry Potter everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got toys, I got a board game, mm-hmm. and my crazy religious aunt threw it all away.
Yeah, Harry Potter. But we're not talking about Harry Potter. We're talking about Treasure Planet. Now, just like every episode of Does It Hold Up, we're going to analyze the story, the animation. We're going to break down the characterization as well as just every element that we perceive as, like, important as, like, I'm a writer, Oscar's an artist, so we try to break down what we perceive makes films great. But this one has a little added twist, just like we did with the Outlaw Star. We're going to look at this as an interpretation of, I don't know if Western would be the right, this is more pirate genre, but this does have some
elements. It's definitely, I mean, obviously it's a play on the old book Treasure Island, but so I wouldn't put it with Westerns.
But we can analyze it as Westerns a space and outlaw.
It's still Space Outlaw, but Westerns and pirate stories have the same themes of, like, West and the ocean. Those are both synonymous with freedom and yada yada. So, I mean, they have similarities, but it's definitely not a Western. But yeah, go on.
No. Yeah. So we're going to be analyzing it in the similar elements. And actually, I think this would be a great exercise if we start off kind of with that and then analyze what we normally would with that. So we understood, just a quick recap of what made a Western, quote-unquote, hero or protagonist. Not even a hero is even a good word, just protagonist, which was, what was it? Ambiguous in their nature of either good or bad. They always came from the show never started or the movie where they were from. They were always an outsider or an outcast. And it always invoked a change in them. Not necessarily a positive, but just a change that doesn't have to be grand in scale. It doesn't have to change the world or even themselves greatly, but it has to invoke enough change that if the Westerns continued, they would still feel the same, but also remotely different. Was that the stuff we talked about? I should have written it down.
Those were a lot of the points. I don't know if there was any more, but yeah, I mean, like, this one, you obviously get his background in the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have some of those, you know, thematic elements do transition into this, but, like, yeah. Yeah. So, ooh, I do want to say one thing.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think this is, like, the only Disney movie I can think of where the main character's parents are alive.
Yeah. No, a lot of it. Yeah, we're both are alive. Theoretically, yeah. We may not know what happened with the dad, truly, but the consensus is they're both alive.
And he just walked out of his family. Piece of shit.
Yeah. And that's something I want to bring up a little later with the analyzing a bit of the story structure. When we looked at this, now we understood the space outlaw in the Western fashion, like the genre, not like in the Western as in America, but the genre. So how would you say this space outlaw fits into either the pirate genre, or what would you even describe this to a person?
This is not That's what I'm saying. I want to separate it from the Western. I want to analyze this as sci-fi, because it's two genres. We were doing Western and sci-fi, and this is more like
sci-fi and
I don't know, sci-fi and pirate. So it's like,
because even that's the thing Tory, I kind of want to touch on.
Yeah.
I couldn't think. I watched this pirate movie based on one of the most famous pirate stories that has had many adaptations in many ways, and I did not see this as a pirate movie.
The only thing I was pirate about was they're called pirates.
And the aesthetic, like the weaponry and stuff that.
Yeah, but it was definitely a nice sci-fi flavor. But no, this is definitely... It's not a Western, because like you were saying, you don't get the beginning of the main character. He still is in that moral gray zone the whole film, and his viewpoint might change. He might grow as a character, as most movies should, any good movies anyway. But this is definitely a coming-of-age tale.
100%.
This follows more of the points of the hero's journey, the traditional of that.
And this is where I may go blasphemous. This is where I may go weird. But I want to say this is not a
same treasure plans better than Harry Potter.
Yes. I will die on this hill. One, the first films. I will fight that, even though I love the first Harry Potter movie, because that movie could just stand on its own. Personal taste speaking, my opinion, I liked Treasure Planet way more than Harry Potter. But I love Harry Potter. I own all the movies.
I'm not judging.
I know, but I'm just saying it. I'm putting my flag down, my pirate flag, and I'm going, I wish Treasure Planet came out the year before or the year after, because that way they wouldn't even need to be compared. That being said, this is where I may go blasphemous. I don't think it's really more of a pirate. I think it's a mixture of sci-fi and two vastly different but similar genres. The high school film genre and the military. I don't know what it's called exactly, but you know, like all those movies of you are in boot camp, the boot camp genre films.
Sure.
I think it's a marriage of both, because the high school, because it's a coming of age teenager, and you could see this as him being sent off, even though it's an expedition of journey and wonder, even the way the dude sold it to the mom. The dog professor, the doctor, he went, this is like sending him off to boarding school, basically like military school. What are a few months of hard-earned adventures in a strict area gonna do for the boy who is a troubled teen who then gets in trouble with the law, just like a lot of high school movies have of this young rebel without a cause, looking at a whole bunch of movies. And he goes into a strict military zone and finds a father figure in his sergeant, which is a cook who is really the captain of a pirate crew. That's what I'm saying. Blasphemous. They may be loose threads, but I feel like you could connect them. And this is
what you sound like a conspiracy.
Let me fix my hair.
Aliens. Technically, yeah, there are aliens, but but I mean. He was right all along.
So I have a point. So you're saying my first building block is laid down nice and solid.
They share similarities. It's just that the hard thing is like, it's hard for us to relate to the pirate genre because we're so young. And by the time we grew up and were watching our movies, that genre was already dead. A few Westerns here and there, sort of kind of revitalizing things, but that was like trying to bring back Westerns and they all kind of failed. We got a little bit of Westerns growing up, but like the pirate genre was like Errol Flynn and all those, you know, old actors, stuff like that. The pirate genre was over with. The only pirate movies we ever got modern day was Pirates of the Caribbean, and that's it. That's our pirate genre.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I actually... Oscar, you never knew this. Was obsessed with pirates when I was a kid. Early teenagers. Because of just a series of random things coming in. I'm talking Muppets and the Treasure Island. I'm talking One Piece. came into my life. I'm talking Pirates of the Caribbean came into my life. I'm talking at the same time, Treasure Planet came to my life. The Goonies came to my life. All these movies of like hot, like a whole bunch of B movies. And I'm not talking B movies of these are pirate adventures, but of young kids or people trying to find lost treasure of pirates. My integration, I feel like my generation, and maybe a little bit older and a little bit younger might relate to this, my integration of pirates as a pop culture medium has either been a fantastical version of pirates, where it's like Pirates of the Caribbean with magic, One Piece, which is an anime dosed in action and magic, this movie, which is a sci-fi version, but never traditional, or experienced through this other category of
modern day, where they're hunting old pirate treasure.
Where they're hunting old pirate treasure, and it's
more I had that. I had that Mary-Kate and Ashley movie.
You see, you know what I mean? There's so many B movies of this plot, and I loved it. And my parents took me to like pirate areas and stuff, like when we go on road trips, like this is a pirate stop or something, and I'm like, oh, because I wouldn't be like, pirates are super dope. It's the concept of pirates, and there were I guess the way of easily saying it is, I was never experienced to pure pirate movies, films, or genres, the genre itself. I was always exposed to a pirate infatuation genre of it, where it was always taking either a fantastical view or an appreciative modern view of it. So that's why I'm like, I can't be an authority, whereas the last one, you and I stamped our flag, this is Western, this is not, because we know it. This is us kind of, this is me going, I love the genre, but my experience with it is not exactly as the same.
And that's the thing. It's like pirates are so hard to place, because a pirate can happen at any time. There was pirates in ancient times. We always think of like the 14, 1500s as that romantic period, you know, Blackbeard and all that. But then even when you get up to like the late 1700s, you got pirates helping us, you know, early days of America and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's...
And they're modern-day pirates.
There's like Somalian pirates out there taking out, you know, ships and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's very hard. Besides Pirates of the Caribbean, I can't think of like a movie... in recent that was actually that age, like in that time period, you know, it's always except, a modern thing.
Except that one animated film, the Pirates one that had David Tennant in it. You know the one I'm talking about? It was made by the people who did Chicken Run. I think it's Claymation, not even. Yeah, it was Claymation.
The Wallace and Gromit guys?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that.
I haven't seen it either. I want to, but I haven't seen it.
Treasure Planet.
Planet. So this is a huge explanation of, okay, now that you guys have an understanding of what we're going to be criticizing, and not even just criticizing, just analyzing and breaking down through our viewpoint, Oscar, almost 20 minutes in.
But the thing is, guys, you got to understand, it's a difficult genre, so for us to really like take the time and break it down, you kind of know that we're like really trying to analyze this. But it is a difficult genre. It's not superheroes, it's not, you know...
Because it is an ambiguous land. That's one thing I do feel like it shares with Westerns is normally the protagonists, as they are pirates, are ambiguous. They are not morally high, nor are they morally low. Looking at Captain Jack Sparrow, he was cursed. He was punished by the Navy and lost the Black Pearl because he decided to save slaves and like set them free. But he also was a pirate who committed many crimes.
Is a very that is the correct backstory. You have to like really pay attention to the films to like pick that up.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they don't put them out there. So when we start with Treasure Planet, we don't have that. Our protagonist is a teenager who, yes, is rough and tough, has grown up troubled, has been in and out of the law to the point when the police officer puts him in, he can quote better than the police officer what laws he broke. So and he's
daddy
smart.
Issues.
Mega daddy issues. Super daddy issues. Like crazy. But the thing is, so but we never get a strong morally bad side of him. You know what I mean? I've never in this film went, he's a pirate who is a criminal.
It's just mischievous.
Yes. Thank you. But like, I never see him going bad. So like, even though it's a pirate film from the beginning, you know, it's him against the pirates, not where normally some of the genre may be of the pirates. This one is, I'm against them. And
because you get it to where like the backdrop is, you know, pirates are bad. You should fear pirates. So the whole movie, you know that these are the villains. It's like Autobots and Decepticons. They might as well be wearing a symbol on their foreheads.
Mm-hmm.
But where it breaks down is in the character development with like Silver and things like that.
Oh, that is one of like, and this is why I say it, Silver is one of the best. Like, let me tell you, I'm blanking on his name. I wanted to call him. Oh, I know it's John Hawkins, right?
Jim.
Jim Hawkins, thank you. Jim and Silver's relationship is one of the best relationships. I'm going to like speak broadly, but hear me out. In Disney, like creation, and maybe just in film, of how well they balance and introduce it, even to small details. Because again, oh yeah, 20 minutes in, we're spoiling the shit out of this movie, people.
All right, so what do you want to start with analyzing?
I want to kind of not analyze the story because I feel the story is very simple. There's a treasure. They're going to the treasure. That's literally if you
break and if you down, don't know the story, if you don't know the story of Treasure Island, I don't know what to tell you. And
if you break this down like on a chart and go, what is just the literal things that happen in the movie that progress it? It's boy. Pirate crashes in front of hotel restaurant inn. It's just called an inn. Pirate crashes in front of the inn. Yeah, crashes in front of the inn. Pirate goes, I'm dying. Beware the cyborg. Here's a map. Dead. And then pirates come and burn down the inn and boy runs. Boy figures out, oh, this is a map.
He bones.
He brings up the map and he's like, it's Treasure Planet. And scientist man goes, I have money to Treasure Planet. And then he funds an expedition and they go on the expedition. They make it. There's an exploding star in the middle. They make it. And then they're like,
tell him they have a captain and a lieutenant or whatever he is for the first mate.
Yeah.
He hires them they are the ones to lead the expedition. They hire a separate crew
from them, yeah.
Secretly.
Pirates. So they make it there. Crew reveals we're pirates, motherfuckers. And then they found treasure and planet blows up and they make it. So that's like, it's literally like, oh, this is easy to follow. Where this movie I feel like surpasses is in the character emotional development, especially with Jim and Silver. That's where this movie goes from being A to B to a complex. So many spots. This is gonna
sound funky. I know we're talking about Disney here. I'm just gonna bring this out real quick. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I appreciate this is because there's a lot of kids who come from like broken families and things like that. In recent decades, the divorce rate is so high.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a film a lot of kids can relate to, coming from broken families, not having one parent, sometimes even both parents. You have to live with an aunt or uncle or grandparent or even foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
They all relate to what Jim is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Then a lot of them can relate to sort of looking for a parental figure, a father figure, a mother figure, mm-hmm. things like that. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. In the case of Jim, it was a little bit of both.
Yeah, and that's what I loved. Like, Silver was so complex because the movie touched on it, but you know there was probably a deeper, darker layer to his past because he's like, I gave up so much, his arm and his leg, but you know he must have done far worse to other people. He burned down an inn without second thought of who's in there. But
it's like in most Disney films, pure evil. Ursula, just evil. That guy from Quasimodo, just evil. A little horny, but just evil. You know what? Actually, if that guy would have just got laid, I think everything would have been fine. Anyway.
Does a quick handy so, like, in the back of the church?
For real. Give him a little gypsy action. Whoa!
But he was too racist. That was the problem. He's like, I like...
He was too religious. Because there was a whole song where he wanted the gypsy girl, but he couldn't.
He wasn't just religious. He was using his religion for the racism. He's like, she's brown. No. No. No!
Temptation. Anyway, great song. A great villain. But anyway, my point is, like, they're all just... evil. Like, there's no moral ambiguity, there's no grays. Character always evolving. You're like, okay, he's bad, but you can see he has an emotional connection to Jim, maybe because knows what it feels like growing up without sort of that guiding parental figure.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the sort of the turmoil Jim is going through, and so he can relate and kind of wants to help him. It's so weird because you don't get that from villains a lot, and it's just, I don't know, man. Like I agree with you. Like every single time they would go into this relationship, it just was like a soup. You just kept adding ingredients to it, and it just kept getting better and better and better.
And it's so well done because you see moments of where he generally cares, and two, I want to mention two specific moments. One is a small, subtle detail that if you blink, you kind of miss it. But to me, it matters. And two, the one I'll mention first is the very obvious montage scene. The montage scene where you go, I have a hoping to be real, an ocean out of fear, and a new she. I play that song every time, and I'm just like a bowl of mess. I'm like, see, I belong. I can't let these smooth vocals get us copyright claimed because they're gonna be like, whoa, you need permission to play our song. Oh, thank you. But no. Roll with it. The main thing I wanted to say is that montage
roll.
He's rolling, people. The main thing I want to mention about the montage scene, this is a good example of, do you want to know how to make a really strong emotional montage scene that makes sense? Here you go. Because they did it well. They didn't tell us, you remind me of my daddy. He left me when I was young. On the day he left, I saw my mother cry. And she cried. No, they showed us. They showed us as Jim kept doing more and more of the chores, you see Silver care more and more about him. Because you see, he sees the boy may have an attitude, but he has talent. He knew the knot in the first time. He has grit. He cleaned every pot and pan no matter what without complaint. He had a chance to complain, but he just picked it up and kept going. And Silver saw that and put the jacket over him, and he recognized, he's like, I'm being really hard on the boy. I'm just being hard. And then it kept splicing in the moments the day the dad left. To the point when the dad leaves on the boat, Jim just sees him gone, but then Silver pops up with the boat, going, no, come with me. They didn't have to tell you. You saw the connection of that was the moment in Jim's eyes. He became what he was missing. Someone, not just a father, but just someone in his life who sees beyond the bad. Because even though his mom loved him and really, really tried, it's hard to separate your feelings of what has happened to the person. And Silver, who has no experience with the father, just knows Jim as Jim and has pushed through it. The dog dude, I bet he's been trying to be a good figure throughout his life, but it's still like, I am too close to you from the start. And the subtle moment I wanted to bring up, Oscar, is when they're on Treasure Planet and they're riding on the speeder to follow the light in the sky. And he's like, bring them all. And they're all on the ship. If you notice, Silver has his arm around Jim, just like he did in the one before, to keep him safe. He has his arm over Jim, holding on to, if I'm remembering correctly, if I'm not, please someone tell me. but he's doing it to brace Jim in. So in case he falls, he has his arm there. It could be construed as, well, he just has his arm to sturdy himself. He's not driving. He's in front. He's holding it specifically behind Jim's back. I think that was a moment of, even though they're hostile at the moment, you can see him just subtly still caring.
And throughout the whole film, I mean, it was just like him, like, I have to be the, you know, the pirate captain and lead these men to this treasure of, you know, lead all these cutthroats, but need to somehow keep Jim safe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I usually don't care, I see something in this boy, whether it's part of myself or something that I'm lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. And even and the moment
it's still storytelling. Show more, say less.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And all I was gonna say was just and it was like when he got caught about, oh, I'm a pirate and everything, his first words weren't, Jim, what you heard in there about me being a pirate and evil and everything. His first words were, all the stuff about I said about you was a lie. I care about you. He just wanted that clear. He didn't give a shit that Jim found out I'm a pirate. His first words were, I'm good. Now, Oscar, I want to ask you something, and I wanted to see your opinion, definitely, like specifically yours. You would agree. Of course, there are variations depending on the people working on it, people leading the project and everything. But Disney has a style when it comes to animating. Like, and I'm talking Disney animations, not Disney Pixar, because Pixar has its own look, but Disney's animation department. You can look at it and go, that's a Disney movie. That's a Disney movie. And you can see elements of that in this movie, obviously. But I wanted to know, did you feel this looked like a Disney movie? Sorry, you kind of cut off. I didn't hear that. Wow, it blocked it off again.
Hold on.
Oh, I got you. I'll sing just some more time as Oscar has to deal with his dog. The dog is probably pooping right inside his indoor living room. Oh, that dog is just pooping. So, what... Back to the question. Do you feel like this looks like a Disney movie?
There, like, me being a fan of Disney and loving animation to begin with and studying Disney animators and their process and all that, I recognize certain things, way noses are drawn, certain eyes and fingers and things like that. But they took a lot of liberties. So it really didn't the same feel as most Disney movies, like Jim alone. So Jim himself,
okay,
his face was not Disney.
Yes,
or like it was more like Fox Animation.
Yes. Oh,
I was like the only real Disney looking one was the dog.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. And this isn't a jab at them. I think, and I want to specify, Treasure Planet in my mind has some of the best designs. I thought it looked cool as fuck.
But and one other thing about the animation is, like, you know me, I hate it when they mix the CG with the 2D. I hate it, hate it, hate it. This one, the 2D looked good. The animators did a good job of incorporating these CG elements onto the characters. Like, Silver, he's a 2D character. His eye, his arm, his leg, anything robotic was CG.
Blended it so well.
Great. It moved. It felt organic. It was just enough to make you realize that it was mechanical versus his organic body. So the separation of those, it made perfect sense. But like the robot character, he was all CG.
Oh, but he fits so well. Like,
yeah. I had no complaints with that one.
Shit, I didn't even realize that. Like, as you said it, how... I guess the perfect way to say it, it blended so well. I personally did not see that coming, if that makes sense. I did not see... it blended so well. That didn't come to my mind. Like, oh, this is CG and 2D. It just blended. It made perfect sense. Yep.
The only ones that stood out, obviously, were like the sails of the ships and things.
Yeah,
like
that one was the ones I was like, oh, and like the first time they show, the port, the spaceport, I was like, that's CG.
But when something is inorganic, ships, cars, mechs, that's when I don't have a problem with CG because it doesn't destroy the illusion. That Disney gives with its animation.
Oh yeah. And speaking of the animation, I wanted to mention how I was so impressed just with Silver's, like, cause like when you see Morph alone is a beautiful piece. I think he was CG, a bit CG too. Thinking back on it.
Depending on what they were doing. Yeah.
But like his animation, the whole blob liquidy thing was so dope. They really moved it. But I don't know why. I thought Silver's basically, by the way, until I rewatched it now, not as a joke, I always thought Silver was human. I always saw him as human. It wasn't until now I noticed he has a cat ear and like a cat nose. It wasn't until now I noticed that. And I went, oh, he's not human. That explains his nails and everything. It never occurred to me. I thought he just painted them black and he was like a little, I'm a pirate. Yeah, I didn't realize that now. But like when he would put his hand on his face and go like his squishy hand on his squishy face with so much loose skin, I thought that was so well animated because you can see it be loose and everything, but also feel real to the character. I thought that was so good. And oh yeah, I'm not hiding my biases on this one, even though we're near the end of the show and I've been sucking Treasure Planet's dick really hard. I watched this movie so much in my life. It's one of the few movies I have seen more than 15 times. And today when I watched it, I was like, I've seen this movie so much, I'm gonna put it up, do some writing while I watch it. I never typed a word. I didn't even open my laptop. I was just sitting there watching it. I was just like, God, it's a good movie. It's fucking good.
The animation's good. It's the colors, the spectacle of it all. It like just attracts the eye. And good acting. The characters are complex. I mean, it was just a good film. Forget Disney, forget cartoon. It was just a good film.
No, yeah. And like I loved how like they took the idea of these were supposed to be British, like in the sense of like Treasure Island. Like these is a British crew, like captain and first mate, and they still incorporated that. Like I forgot her name, but the captain. Like, I love the way she spoke. It was like, and the professor, how they spoke to each other. It was like very, very witty, but also trying really hard to use big words, but it also flowed together really well. Like they strung it together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to go on to the question, does it hold up? But were there any points you wanted to do? I think we should, I guess, not out of the sake of let's just shit on the movie a bit. I feel I should say something negative of the film, not because I want to, but I feel like it would feel like I'm avoiding the negative just to focus on the positive of my biases. So do you have a negative thing you want to say first or you want me to go?
I don't have a negative thing. It was like, to me, it was just really refreshing because nowadays you kind of, you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. And this movie was refreshing in that everything was different. You didn't get just a straight evil villain like you do in most cartoons and most Disney films. Even the ending, the weird happily ever after, you know, no one got the treasure.
No one got it.
The villain sacrificed his main goal and followed his heart. And it was just like everything.
It was a good movie.
Like, yeah. So I was just like, negativity? I mean, like, only thing would probably be the CG, but they did such a damn good job with it that I can't even complain about it.
I got 2 points. I'm cynical enough to find 2. One, I always felt this to be true. I felt, I get because of Treasure Island and stuff, but like mentioning real quick the cyborg, because like it was supposed to be don't trust the man with the peg leg in the whole Treasure Island. And it's meant to be like, oh, you automatically see the man with the peg leg and you're automatically distrustful. I get that, but I feel there was no nuance in between the, is he really bad or is this the wrong guy? I never felt that. I always felt like he's just a villain who will grow good. So when they had that reveal of he's bad and Finn finds out, I get the moment was more for Finn than for the audience to be shocked. Like, oh no, Finn found out. Oh, now their good times are ruined. But I also felt like that was a little moment they could have played with more so that we were as affected as well. Like, maybe we could have been tricked.
In all interpretations of Treasure Island, you know.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, so that's what I'm not knocking it too hard on that. That's what I'm saying if I have to find something. But this one I actually do believe in, like, really, really hard. I feel like Ben should have been introduced earlier. One, that could have been a red herring to the cyborg man because he is an android, but who knows? And also, he's introduced nearly an hour in the film. And the only reason I say that is he's such a good character. He is fun. He is so... He was someone so important on the crew, crucial, and is just thrown in at the end. And all he says is, oh, the reason he ripped me out is because there's a booby trap. That's it? You didn't even say what the booby trap was. Like, how it was activated. I get you could have.
The trip line. No, it was already... It was the thing was, it was already activated. So there's no sense of warning. Yeah, I mean...
No, I recognize that, but I'm saying, like, what was the point of then having the, like, missing memories just like, hey, there's a tripwire? But that's... I'm just saying personally, like, why rip out his memory when he could have just not existed? Like, my thing is, I love Ben, and the reason I say they should have put him in the beginning...
What you're saying is, he's the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, it didn't matter if Indiana Jones was in the film at all, it still would have ended the same way.
It's the exact... He did nothing. In fact, he made things harder for Jim when he was trying to deactivate the cannons. It made it much harder for him. So my point is, if he wasn't there earlier, he could have been... His purpose could have been just... Oh, this whole time they thought he was just a silly robot on the crew, a dysfunctional robot, but he was secretly Flynn's navigation.
That comedic effect, just been Morph. Go disable the cannons. It could have been Morph trying to disable it, not knowing what to do, and it could have been the exact same comedic effect. Yeah,
he's a completely useless character in the scream of the story. Not in enjoyment. Not in fun, but he also really grew to Jim like in 10 seconds. He's like,
he would have been, I agree with you, if he would have been with the crew the entire time, like, we're searching for Captain Flynn's treasure, and this is something he found, like a clue, was this little robot.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing him along. He's going to help us, you know, blah, blah, blah. So if he was with from the beginning of the film, and you got it on a hard because you have this trying to develop this organic relationship with Silver, and I got to do this organic relationship with the dog man and then the robot. So it is difficult. But if it was with her in the beginning and I just thrown in two-thirds into the last act, you know?
Yeah, because his only real purpose he provided was the riddle. The center of the mechanism opening the the door opening and closing. That's it. That's all he provided. And that could have been literally a wall written on the wall of old pirates trying to hunt
like decipher stuff. I can decipher hieroglyphics. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have given him more purpose.
Is Disney wasted all their money hiring Martin Short to voice this robot? Got it.
Yes. And now that I even think about it, even the dog himself, minus providing the expedition itself, what purpose does he provide?
He's an actual character in the novel.
Facts. There you go. And actually, when you look at it, he provides a little more in the sense of he helps with the black hole and how they escape. It's because of him with the knowledge of what's going on. They have. It's just like
They're just making him a little useful. They don't want two Martin Shorts in there.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, they gave him a use, so I guess he's not a Martin Short. But that's the thing. Again, I love Ben as a character, but I feel like you literally could just have picked him up and replaced him with a piece of paper, and he would have provided equal use.
That you say it, I do see that now. Yes.
Yeah, and I say this going, I wish he was in it earlier, because even if he wasn't a clue, he was just someone on the crew. They were like, we needed a navigation. This fucking crazy robot was the cheapest thing they had. And like, that would have made sense.
The dog.
Because it would have been revealed.
The doctor.
Yeah. Wait, the dog of the doctor? The
doctor had like had a relationship with the captain, like the like sort of that evolved throughout the film.
That was a good relationship.
Yeah, it was a good development. But yeah, so robot.
Like I said, I had to point something out because it looks like I'm just going all up on Treasure Planet. But I will start this off by saying, does it hold up? Yes, I give it a golden sip. I'm giving it a golden sip. Even though, actually, can I give it a golden sip knowing that Ben? No, I won't give it a golden sip for one reason. Me personally, it is one of my favorite movies of all time. I will fight for this movie to the end of days. I think it's amazing. But at the same time, the only reason I'm not going to give it a golden sip, because to have that big of a character, quote unquote, that they show on every cover, that big of a character who's just gets thrown in. Because people can argue his whole point is he understands the planet. He had a place to hide. Finn needed to look left and he found it. Another thing is, well, he had the tunnels. Finn could have literally just went, found it. It's that big of
it's like D&D, roll perception.
Yep.
Oh, you found a big ass hatch that was in the middle of the room.
Yeah. Oh, what did I roll? A three. You rolled a three. Congrats. That's all you needed.
It's literally a big ass hatch in the middle of the room.
I won't give it a golden sip, but it does fucking hold up.
It does hold up. I'm with you there. Now, I would like to just mention one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a movie. Basically, same plot to the same characters. Also, a theatrical bomb. I think did it slightly better.
What?
A.
The what? You kind of cut out a bit.
An AE.
I still haven't seen Titan AE.
AE was supposed to revitalize and start Fox's animation line, and it failed horribly. And it's a damn good movie.
Yeah, Dan Bluth.
Damn good movie.
Don Bluth.
It's the same plot. It's the same fucking characters. Everything.
Yeah. Is it Don Bluth? Yeah, he did also Iron Giant. Yeah. Yeah, I need to see that movie because I actually love him as an animator and storyteller.
Like, it's like Treasure Planet, but just a tish better. Just a tish.
I don't know. I guess that's a comparison piece we'll have to do one day.
The only reason it's a tish better, just a tish, is because it's more adult.
Okay, then if you want.
It's more violent.
Without going into detail so people have surprises. Well, we know what the next week is, right? And we know what we can announce this after next week's Friday episode. We're going into December. The last 3 weeks of December will be our 21 days. Well, actually, not 21 days because we won't even do content for 21 days. Our six shows of Christmas.
Six shows of Christmas.
Our six shows of Christmas, where we're going to cover three movies of Christmas related materials. And then we have a special New Year's that we need to work out. Our special New Year's show.
You need to test that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Our special New Year's show that we're going to try something new for y'all. Do you want to make Titan AE the one after that then?
Let's go watch Titan AE.
Got it. We'll do Titan AE after that one. It's one.
We're going to be stuck on sci-fi for like half the year if we keep doing this stuff. I mean, I don't mind. It's my favorite genre, so...
Well, I feel like the Christmas one is going to break it up very much because we're doing drastically.
And Jack Frost in space.
Don't tell them what we're watching. We can't let them know Rudolph Reindeer's X. Dun, 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 dun. The future may hold the key, but the red nose hose.
It's like the Terminator where it turns like the red eyes, but it's the nose like. Do, do,
do, do, do. Have you been good or have you been naughty? Do, do, do,
do, do. Enter. You've been naughty this year.
Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer X. Let's say the X stands for the Reindeer Games Extreme. No, that's not a good tagline.
What was the name of the elf in the claymation?
The one that wanted to be a dentist? I don't know, blonde bitch. I don't know.
No, I was gonna do like the like looking for John Carter with the Arnold voice, but I couldn't remember the elf's name. that joke failed.
I don't know why. I thought you were gonna say John Wick. So I was like, the elf is John Wick. I'm a be a dentist, but you killed my dog. Oh, spoiler for John Wick and a Treasure Planet.
Listen, I like Keanu.
The I haven't seen John Wick.
Movies are entertaining. I've seen.
I want to so
the first.
Bad.
Yeah, I saw the first three back to back. They don't have story.
I want to watch it. I want to watch it. But
wait, like, look at me. It's 5 minutes of story in a 2 hour film. Like, there's no story. It's just
dope
death.
Action. I love that. But I need to watch it. But Oscar. You said it holds up?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's this episode of Burnt Out Coffee! Thank you for watching. If you like the episode, go ahead and give it a like. If you want to follow it on the podcast platform, hit the button. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, hit the button to follow and subscribe. Our two questions for you is, obviously the easy one, does Treasure Planet hold up? And two, what is your favorite pirate genre property? Because we talked for a hot minute of how we don't know of any, and it's specifically modern. So my interpretation of modern has to have came out after 2000, just because there are many properties in the 1990s, because the 1990s were like, oh, if it's Pirates of the Caribbean, well, it's Pirates of the Caribbean. But if you have another one that you feel is underrated, let us know. Let us know. Maybe we'll cover it on an episode.
Is so, who did the story of Treasure Island better? Planet or Titan A.E.?
Or Muppets?
Correct answer, Muppet Treasure Island.
Yes! I know! Why is the Cucaracha coming out going, Cucaracha! The greatest scene known to cinematic history.
So, who did a better silver? The animated or Tim Curry?
I was about to say. I was like, that's hard. That's hard, because Tim Curry is Tim Curry. thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, well, then you're going to enjoy Internet 24. Internet 24 is an anthology storytelling series that follows all these different adventures. It goes on. It talks about past lives. It talks about space visitors coming to our planet. It talks about monsters hunting people in the snow. It's wild. It's crazy. Go check it out. If you're
favorite
listening
one,
to this.
Actually.
Oh, Fresh Red? Thank you.
Red.
If you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this podcast, guess what? Internet 24 is there. Also check out Catrails. Catrails is my webcomic. You can find a webtoon in Tapas. It is a sci-fi fantasy adventure. It is fun. I actually would say, not as they're similar, but if you enjoy Treasure Planet, you will enjoy Catrails. I feel they walk the same path. They are not the same, but they walk a similar path. So there you go. And Oscar. Correct me on my time. Would it still be going on by Friday or no? Or did it end? Would it have ended?
It would have ended. It would have ended Thursday, the day before this release.
Okay. Well, if you missed out because you didn't listen to the Tuesday episode, how dare you? Oscar had an event where he was doing a giveaway where if you went to his page, followed it, which is Oscar Farts on Instagram or F Arts on Facebook, you would have entered a chance to win three amazing pieces he designed for free. All you had to do was follow and tag a friend. Well, I'm still saying go follow. Why? Depending on how well this does, Oscar wants to make this a semi-reoccurring thing and kind of evolve it.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be lots of more giveaways in the future. We're going to try different stuff out. I want to do my most popular prints, maybe some stickers, maybe later on some original pieces, depending on what events are going on.
Mm-hmm. And,
I mean, the holidays are coming up, so free art.
There you go. If you want to check it out, go follow him on his pages. You'll definitely be in the loop of when the next one will happen. You don't want to miss out on it. And is there anything else? Well, thank you for listening. This has been Burnt Out Coffee. And like always, Oscar's going to hit us with our famous catchphrase and we're going to dip.
Yo! Yo! One Piece. It's good. Like 1500 episodes, and it's never going to end, but it's good.
The fuck? I didn't see that coming. I should have seen that coming. See you next time.
Super!
That's not Treasure Planet. You can't come with one Treasure Planet quote.
This is better.
Oh my god, I'm stupid. So I'm gonna do it right now. I never clap synced for myself. So I gotta watch the end of the video to clap sync. So ending clap sync in 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. All right, now I gotta remember that. And...